O Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, open our spirits, and open our lips, that we might know you, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure many of you have heard the saying in regard to couples that opposites attract. In other words, people who are vastly different from each other or attracted to each other, get to know one another, and eventually get married. Well, as many of you might know, if not all of you, that my daughter is getting married this fall. But many of you do not know that Sarah and I are heading off this afternoon to a wedding of my nephew in Bensalem, PA. Don't worry, it's Labor Day weekend, so it's okay. We won't even stay overnight. I hesitate to view this saying of opposites attract as a proverb about couples. Many healthy marriages may be composed of people who had vast differences in their personalities, interests, and viewpoints. About politics, how tidy your house is, whether you're talkative or reserved. My goodness, my father was quiet as can be. If he was in a room with four people he knew, and one person he didn't know, other than saying hello, that was it. That was it. My mother, I take after her. She was chatty. A couple may have great differences, but in my mind, more importantly, what is the nature of your differences and how well do you navigate your differences? Well, in Proverbs 9, we have two ladies who call out to those in the city, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly are contrast towards each other. They are from opposite viewpoints, contradictory viewpoints. And so this morning, I'd like to consider the call of Lady Wisdom and the call of Lady Folly. First of all, the call of Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is a literary device known as personification, which gives human characteristics to wisdom portrayed here as a lady. Wisdom calls out to people in the streets and invites them into her house to feast at her banquet, both food and wine. In Proverbs 9, 1 through 5, Solomon says this, Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, Come eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. And so Lady Wisdom gives a wide appeal to those living in the city. She has her maidens call from the heights of the city. Whether that was a tall hill in the city or the tallest building in the city, but they call out so that many people can hear and respond to her invitation to eat the food and drink the wine prepared in her house. The text of Proverbs 9:6 then pivots to adding in the substance to this call of wisdom. In other words, what are the specifics of the food that's being pictured here? 6 through 10 says, Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. To he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:6 addresses this ongoing need of discipline and the practice of repentance in a Christian believer's life. We need to forsake folly and then move in the direction of godly wisdom and understanding. Recognizing that you may have made poor decisions and habits requires self-knowledge and humility. And that is precisely what each Christian believer needs to be prayerfully open toward. We're not perfect. Let us be willing to listen when we've gone the wrong way and have been imperfect and sinful. We need to pray to the Lord, open my eyes to see my hidden faults and sins, and give me the grace to repent and change my ways. It takes courage, humility, and the willingness to swallow your pride and to take the steps to make a U-turn, to go the other direction in your decisions and habits. And while I'm quoting my parents, and I've told Sarah in the last couple years, in the passing of my mother, I probably quote her more than I did when she was living. She would say to me, "Cedric, watch out. The stubborn streak in the Benners is pretty strong." She was right. Both when we're right and sometimes when we're wrong, Benners can be stubborn. Watch the stubborn streak, Cedric. Especially when we think we're right, but we're not. To the scoffer, the longer he has listened to folly, the less likely he is willing to listen to criticism about how he lives. And the word scoffer is used 10 times in the book of Proverbs. It means to mock, scorn, scoff, to hold someone in derision, or have contempt for. And listen specifically what the scoffer scoffs about. The sayings of the wise. He doesn't want to listen. All these words in this definition about a scoffer have a strong negative reaction toward the true, the good, and the beautiful. While a scoffer should have listened and heeded the voice of wisdom, he holds godly counsel and wisdom in disdain. There is nothing neutral about his reaction against wisdom. In fact, the wise are warned not to reprove a scoffer, for he won't listen, and he will add insult to injury. Get out of here. I don't want to hear it. Mind your own business, is what the scoffer says to the voice of wisdom. The wise man, on the other hand, knows how to hear and receive constructive criticism, and he makes the necessary course corrections to the godly wisdom he has heard. Proverbs 9:10 serves as the motto of those who are godly and wise, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I won't repeat what I have said in previous sermons about the fear of the Lord from this book, but only to summarize this as a foundational trait that a believer has throughout his Christian life, which is to have proper reverence for God, who is holy, pure, and without sin, about him who is the just and righteous God, to whom we must give account. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ, God's eternal and only begotten Son, that we are reconciled to God, forgiven of our sins, and are heirs of eternal life. And so it is within the assurance of our salvation that we are also to continue to fear and reverence Almighty God. And so we are to have fear for the Lord. And I've been asked this as a pastor, how to handle this tension that we appear before God, and of course God forgives us of our sins. Are we going to remember before God all of our missteps and sins? And my answer is, yeah, that is a mystery. But thank God we will be forgiven through Jesus. It is within this relationship to God that is built upon God's holiness and His mercy that both the weightiness of our sins and the all-sufficient grace of Christ our God who died for us on the cross, that we're able to come into God's presence and address Him both as Almighty God and our Heavenly Father. He's both. As we have heard in this very passage, the Christian life begins with the fear of the Lord, which is the foundation of all true wisdom. And it is something that we must continue to grow in from the moment we are born again until we breathe our last breath on this earth. And so, as long as we are in this life, we will always need to grow deeper in godly wisdom and the fear of the Lord. And so that is the call of Lady Wisdom, to hear God, to not be stubborn, but to be open to God's counsel and the counsel of His holy word. That brings me to my second point, and that is the call of Lady Folly. Proverbs 9:13-17 says this, "The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on the seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Twice in this passage, the word naive is used, and it's not positive. In verse 13, Lady Folly is described as naive. In verse 16, Lady Folly calls out to those who are naive. The word translated naive means one who is simple, foolish, and seducible. Even as Eve was seduced by the devil in the garden, we must guard our hearts that we not be tricked and seduced by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And again, he who is wise must realize that the world, the flesh, our sinful nature, and the devil are all equally real and they're dangerous. If you don't recognize that, that's a recipe for disaster. Just as Lady Wisdom calls out and invites people to partake of her delicacies, so does Lady Folly. One of the few things that Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly have in common is this, that they are announcing their message from the heights of the city. And I take this to mean that both Wisdom and Folly are seeking to spread their message abroad, trying to influence as many people with their message. It is human nature to replicate yourself, to bring forth after your kind, your practices, your beliefs to those around you, family, friends, and associates. Anybody's heart who is still beating and whose brain is still alive, if he's honest with himself, is trying to influence others to be like him or her. Both Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly attempt to spread their message far and wide. The real question remains, what kind of disciple are you? What kind of message are we following? If the motto of the wise person is Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord, the motto of the foolish person is found in Proverbs 9:17, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. The foolish person believes that practicing wickedness and evil in the end will be pleasant and sweet. And how foolish this view of sin is. For the passage closes with the fruits of this supposed sweetness is death. We are ingesting poison and we think it's sweet. Those ensnared by foolishness, those who don't fear the Lord, are brazen and boisterous about it, energetic in their lives, which goes against God's moral will and commandments. Lady Folly seeks to appeal to sensual pleasure, but has no knowledge of the fear of the Lord. Instead, she entices people to take pleasure in stolen water, which she says and promises will be sweet, in anything that God forbids. We have had examples of this metaphor of stolen water already given in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verses 3 and 15, which both speak of sexual immorality, the intimacy of sexual relations outside of marriage, which is a violation of the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. I believe, though, this saying of Lady Folly should be also expanded to any foolish pleasure which seeks to make something pleasant, which in reality goes against God's law. Now, another memory of my childhood. I can remember growing up when my mother had just baked a batch of fresh chocolate chip cookies. She told my brother specifically and myself, boys, don't eat the cookies before lunch because it'll spoil the meal. Well, when two boys approximately age 6 and 8 are told, don't eat cookies, it'll spoil your meal, what do? We ate them. They were delicious and warm. When my mother came up from the basement, and that's where the bakery was, she asked us, did you eat any of those cookies? And what did my brother and I answer? No. Mother nailed us because she said, you guys are lying. And the proof was all around our mouths. Crumbs and chocolate chip smears. We compounded our sin by disobeying our mother's command and then lying about it. We were caught red-handed and learned the lesson to listen to our parents and certainly don't lie about it after you've been caught. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, this about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses chose to identify with God's people and suffer persecution rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And that's precisely what we're being warned about in Lady Folly. Stolen water is not pleasant. Bread eaten in secret is not sweet. The Lord Jesus gives us these contrasts also in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, the contrast of the wise and the foolish builders. The wise man built his house on the rock, while the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rock in this passage is referring to hearing and following the teachings of Jesus in his identity as God the Son and his saving work for us. The foolish man is the one who ignores the message of Jesus and builds his life upon that which is fleeting and will go away. The parable comes at the end of what Jesus' teaching is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It is a fitting closing comment on this section of our Lord's teaching, reminding us of our responsibilities as Christian believers to hear and to follow, to do what Jesus is teaching us. May God grant us grace to grow in godly wisdom, in the fear of the Lord, rather than the passing and temporary pleasures of ungodly foolishness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us an understanding heart, a fear of your great and glorious majesty, and an ever-increasing knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the more we know him and the power of his resurrection, and the more we fellowship in his suffering, the more we will understand your eternal character and your unsurpassed attributes to your praise and glory. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.